Us welcome back to a brand new episode of That It Tells All. I am so glad that you're here, just like all the other Tuesdays. So today's guest is one of my sweetest friends, and I'm so excited for you guys to hear from her and get to know her a little bit more. Just as a friendly reminder, please make sure that you rate, that you subscribe, that you share this podcast, that you interact with the That It Tells All show page. If you listen, give me a tag. I would love to know your feedback. I would love to repost you. It really helps the podcast grow, and any little thing that you do means the world to me. So thank you so much for that. I don't know about you guys, but it is freezing here in Houston. As I am here editing this intro, I'm looking at my phone and it is 20 degrees outside. And listen, I am a Houston girl at heart. I am used to the heat and the humidity, and I thrive in the heat and the humidity, even if I'm sweating. Okay, I'm used to it. So these 20 degree temperatures and ice and sleet and snow, it's not for me. I love visiting snowy places, but I always know that, you know, at the end of the trip, I get to come back home to hot and humid Houston. And so this is a little out of my comfort zone. So if you are somewhere where it's also really cold right now, I hope that you're staying nice and warm and cozy. All right, I'm not going to keep you waiting any longer. Let's get into today's episode. Today on the show, I have one of my fellow bunnies, one of my Cali besties. She's lost 120 pounds. She's an overall amazing sweetheart, Amy Chow.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited to be here.
Too. We've talked about this for a long time, but I didn't have my podcast for a while. So I know. When I said, I'm bringing it back, I was like, Amy Jo, ma'am, you're going to be on.
I am honored. When you texted me, I'm like, let me in. Let me on.
I know. And we were kind of hoping that we would have the Buff Bunny Christmas party so that we could have done it in person.
We could have Milo. I'm like,
oh. I know. That little nugget would have been like right here between us. As it is, he's at my mom's house right now, because I was like, no, he's going to want to be in the video. I already know him.
I love it. I'm surprised Daily is not here, to be honest. She's normally like all up in my space. You know how it is.
Love it for moms.
I know.
Well, for those of the listeners who are listening who don't know who you are, give us just a quick little rundown of who you are and what you do.
Okay, there's a lot. First of all, my name is Amy. I go by Amy Jo Fit on Instagram and TikTok. I have lost 120 pounds. That's kind of how I started my social media journey. I originally started my social media to document my VSG journey. So I had vertical sleeve gastrectomy in July of 2019. So I'm coming up on 5 years post-op, which is absolutely insane. Like, I don't think I understood what I was getting myself into when I started my Instagram. Like, I just started it for funsies. Like, it was never meant to be anything. I created a completely separate email actually to my Instagram account because I didn't want people from my hometown to find me. You know how when you make a social media and you're like plugging in your email and your phone number and it's like suggested to follow this person? Mm-hmm, I'm like, let's not do that. So I made a completely separate email for my Instagram account so no one would be able to find me. And I was posting just whatever I wanted to post. I personally didn't have anyone to relate to that had surgery, and that was younger. I was 19 years old when I had the surgery. My mom actually had the surgery when she was like 40s, 50s. So I knew of like someone that was like older, but I was like, let me see if I can find someone that is around my age, younger, and that I can relate to and, you know, kind of go through this with. And it was crazy. In the beginning, like in 2019, it wasn't as big as it is now. And I think that's just because more people started sharing back then, which is so cool to see like the growth in the community, because having weight loss surgery changed my life. I have absolutely no regrets whatsoever. This is kind of all over the place, but there's just so much like to talk about with my weight loss journey. I actually went on my first diet pill when I was 9 years old. So I struggled. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Wow, is this like your pediatrician recommended it, or like your mom was trying to help? Like,
It was just like my regular normal doctor. I was really overweight as a child because my parents got a divorce when I was around 7 years old. So from like 7 to 9, really rough for me, really bad. And I turned to food for a source of comfort. And that's just like that has been my coping mechanism. And even like to this day, like I still feel like food to me is like comfort. Like if I'm stressed, I'm not someone that's gonna go shopping or drinking or anything else. Like for me, it's like food is comfort. And I feel like a lot of people can relate to that. And for the longest time, like I was so scared to talk about that and like say that just because it feels like, I don't know. It just, you know what I mean? Like it's vulnerable and it's like not, I don't know, not comfy to talk about. But yeah, so I went on my first diet pill when I was 9 years old. It was phentermine. And basically, it just
I
kind of
am
suppressed.
shocked that they gave a 9-year-old phentermine.
I
That is
remember.
a controlled substance.
Thank you so much. I look back now and I'm like, I have such a different viewpoint. But you know, that's beside the point. Anyways, I remember I was on a cruise and it was about to be my 10th birthday. And I was like, oh, like I can't have this. I have to lose this amount of weight by the time I turn 10. By the time I turn 10. Yeah. Isn't that
Oh
crazy?
my God.
But
I
I
feel for little baby Amy, because you were a little, that's when you're 9 and 10, you're like, birthday party, birthday cake,
A
ice
kid.
cream.
Yeah. And no one ever bothered to talk to me about nutrition or therapy or anything that would have actually benefited me. It was just, no, here's a prescription for phentermine. You're literally 9 years old, but here you go. But safe to say, that did not set me up for any type of lasting success. I was on and off phentermine for my whole, like, through high school. I was on it until I was 18. And then I moved out to California, which ties into the next part of my story. I got married when I was 18, and I moved out to California with my husband, who was active duty military stationed at Camp Pendleton. Hey, we're still here. But I moved out to California, and like I mentioned earlier, food was a big source of comfort for me. So I moved out here. I was alone. I didn't have a car. I didn't know anyone, you know, first time ever leaving my small town. I lived in the middle of nowhere with like 200 people population, like middle of nowhere to San Diego. Like it was just culture shock and it was a lot and I wasn't expecting it. And I just food again, major source of comfort. And yeah, so I struggled with my weight since my childhood. And ultimately I ended up deciding to have vertical sleeve gastrectomy in 2019. And like I said, we're coming up on 5 years post-op. I've lost 120 pounds and I've maintained my weight loss. My lowest was 140 pounds down, which we can kind of dive into that too if we want. But yeah, I've maintained my weight loss. It's been something that has been lasting and sustainable. I know a lot of people look at weight loss surgery and they're like, oh, you took the easy way out, like you didn't do anything. But I couldn't disagree more. Like this has absolutely changed my life and I would do it all over again in a heartbeat. But yeah, that's kind of the rundown. There's so much.
Yeah, definitely want to talk. We're gonna circle back to some of these topics. Let's talk about weight loss surgery first. Okay, so I've heard this a lot. I didn't have weight loss surgery, but I have multiple friends who have. And one of the things that they always say, and I see it too in the comments, is like, you took the easy way out, or you cheated, right? Now, because I have so many friends who have had weight loss surgery, I have seen different journeys of weight loss surgery. I've seen people like yourself who had the surgery and then learned new habits and were successful, lost the weight, maintained the weight. Then I have friends who did the surgery, did not learn those healthy habits, and ended up gaining weight, and along with that, gaining a whole new set of medical issues because they didn't learn those habits. So getting weight loss surgery is not cheating. I will scream that to anyone.
I think where people get it confused is like some people just like they honestly at the end of the day, like they just aren't educated and they haven't taken the time, like ignorant kind of. They just don't want to get into the topic, like whatever. And that's on them. But I think for people, like they're just confusing weight loss surgery with, oh, they have the surgery and they just like never have to do anything to like maintain the results. Like,
and that's the misconception right there.
Yeah, that is the biggest misconception, and that's where a lot of people go wrong. And I think even some weight loss surgery patients, like, they're like, oh, I'm just gonna like get this. And you know, you have to put in the work. Like, you have to every single day. Like I said, I'm almost 5 years out, and food is still a source of comfort for me. Like, if I'm stressed, I still want to turn to food. It's a matter of like my habits now and what I do now that like equates to my success long term.
Yeah, no, for sure. So let's talk about that emotional eating part, because that is something that I struggled with too. And for you, you say for you, it's like a source of comfort. For me, it was more like just any feeling. If I was feeling very sad, I turned to food. If I wanted to celebrate, I turned to food. If I was lonely or bored, I turned to food. Is that kind of how it was for you, or how it is?
Yeah, 100%. And I think like a lot of people ask if it's like binge eating. And I honestly don't think it is for me. I think it's just like overeating and like, cause it's like, I can control it. Like, I know, but like, I just don't care. Like, in that moment, I'm like, meh, I don't care. So I honestly, like, for me, I don't think it's like the binge eating. I think it's just honestly like emotional eating, stress eating, like, and just not being able to control that. I think those two are very different, and I think they get kind of confused. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And there might be some overlap probably too.
You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, it, like you said, any emotion too, for me, like, it's not just like comfort always, but like sadness, loneliness, even like celebration. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, let's have a cake, it's your birthday, or like, let's do that, you know what I mean? Food is a big part of your life, and I think that's like another reason and another thing that makes struggling with it so difficult, because it's like, it can be an addiction. Like, it's an addiction to some people, and like, if you're addicted to like drugs or alcohol or something, that's something that you can quit cold turkey. Like, you can cut drugs and alcohol out of your life, but you need to eat every single day.
Yeah.
That's like, you're constantly
not to undermine other addictions, but like, so just kind of like to break it down a little bit further, you know, if you cut out alcohol from your lifestyle, yes, it's going to be hard. Yes, you're going to have to detox. Yes, it's going to suck.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you are able to survive without alcohol. Versus food, that you need that to literally survive. So if you're addicted to it, but you also got to keep eating to live, it can be a very
literally difficult. Have to, like, you have to do the work, and you have to like, it's such a mind game. Like, it is such a mind game.
Yeah. What are some things that you have done to kind of make you more conscious of that when you feel the need to turn to food for comfort?
So I've actually started therapy, which has been really helpful. Just like talking about it. For the longest time, I think I was so scared to even like talk about it or say it, just because it feels like, I don't know. Do you understand like what I'm saying? Like, it just feels like kind of a touchy subject and like vulnerable. And
it can be
like
a little triggering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're like, you know what? Let me not say that. But yeah, I started therapy. I started lifting weights. I started educating myself and realizing like, food isn't the enemy. Like, we need food to survive. It's not always about eating as little as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. I tracked my macros for the longest time. I no longer track my macros. I kind of intuitive eat, and I've done it for like 3.5 years. So I feel like I know what I need to do to where I'm confident to not track macros. But honestly, tracking macros did really help me with my food and knowing like, I actually need like this amount of food. Like, I don't need to eat like a bird, you know what I mean? Which that is also another controversial topic. I feel like some people kind of demonize like tracking macros, and I feel like I don't agree with that. I really don't.
I don't either. And I've been very vocal about that. And I can see that the argument is that tracking can lead to disordered eating. And I 100% see that correlation, and I can see how that can happen, right? But I also feel like for people like us who were very overweight and didn't really understand nutrition, gaining that knowledge and tracking opens your eyes, and it teaches you new skills that you can later apply in life. Like, you finally understand, you know, what like 40 grams of protein in one meal looks
like. You're like, oh, I was eating 20 grams the whole day. No wonder I hungry.
Right. And that's the thing. So many people are like, well, I eat and I eat all day. And like, I eat 1900 calories, but like, okay, you're eating 1900 of like 1900 calories of carbs and fat. Where's your protein? You know, and the protein is the most important part. So I still, and I will preach it to anyone that like tracking macros is a very helpful tool for anyone. Once it starts to be like harboring more on like disordered eating, then maybe you probably should cut back a little bit on that. But you eventually learn how to eat without having to track every single thing. The thing kind of helps with the intuitive eating part.
And I think that's like, that's the point of it all. Like at the end of the day, no one's trying to be 80 years old in a nursing home weighing their freaking
gosh, telling the nurses, did you eat oats this morning?
I can't. Like no one is trying to get to that point. So I feel like it's the education aspect for me. And that's what I found to be the most beneficial through tracking macros is like, I learned so much about food and about like how to build a plate. No one told me like, you should be having this much protein, carbs, fats, like fiber, like all of these things. I didn't know. Like I just recently learned all of that and it's been awesome. And I've been able to like pull back from tracking macros. And that's also been really cool as someone that used to be almost 300 pounds, like the thought of like letting go of that control of like, it was for me, it was a mindset of if I stop tracking macros, I'm going to lose all my progress. I'm going to gain all my weight back. So taking that step back for the past like year-ish now has been so cool because I've maintained my progress. Mm-hmm. And it's also been a really stressful year for me. If you know, this isn't airing until after.
No, by the time this airs, people will know you're new. So we can talk about it.
Okay, so the secret's out. We are buying a house and this year has been so stressful with buying the house, like unbelievably stressful. It's just, it's a lot. It's a huge process. It's a new build. So there was just like selects with like cabinets, counters, just things like that. And I'm like, I can't make all these decisions.
That is my dream, Amy. To have a new build and design from scratch. That is my dream.
It's a lot. It's careful what you wish for.
I watched both my sisters do it. Both of my sisters did that. And
I love it.
Listen, by 2025, that is my goal. Okay, so everybody listening to this podcast, go like, subscribe, share, please.
Yeah.
Let's get some sponsors so I can buy a house.
No, this year has been so stressful with all of that. And I have not been tracking macros. I've solely been listening to my body and enjoying my life. And I've maintained my weight this whole year, which that in and of itself is like crazy to me. And it just makes me feel so proud because I feel like I've really done the work to be able to do that and like trust myself and to show me like that I can do it. And I don't have to like, you know what I mean? Like get in that vicious cycle of gaining, losing. And it's like, I have never maintained my weight this long in my whole life. So it's just, it's been so cool.
You should be so proud. I'm proud of you.
Aww.
I love you.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
I know. Okay, so obviously this has changed your life as far as like your health, right? Your health, your self-image, it's given you so much. But in what other ways has this whole transformation and journey changed your life?
The ability to connect with other people that are in the same boat and to not only like inspire them, but also like help them. Like I said, I started my page when no one else was really around, like in the VSG WLS community on Instagram. And so I feel like seeing it grow and seeing people message me, like even to this day, I'll share like a transformation and someone will comment, because you shared this, like you inspired me to either have weight loss surgery myself and my life is completely changed for the better, or you inspired me to just get started in the gym and build healthy habits. And now I'm here and I've lost this weight and I feel so amazing and I feel so confident. Like that to me is everything. I was so terrified to take my Instagram off of private, and doing that honestly like changed the game. Just even one message is like, that means the whole world. I think people forget, like, especially if you have a following on Instagram, that like you're not a real person. I don't know about you, but like I respond to my DMs and I talk to people that follow me and message me and comment on my posts. Like am there and I see it all and I read it all and I actually respond to it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is the coolest part, because people will be like, oh my God, like, thank you for responding. Like, I didn't think you were going to respond. Like, that is so cool. And I just, it's so cool to be able to touch people and everywhere, like all over. Like, it's not just like local people. It's sometimes people in different countries. They're like, it's crazy. Like, it's just crazy, the power of social media.
Have you ever looked at your analytics to see like what other countries your followers are from?
No, but I should. I've looked at the towns, but I haven't looked at the countries. I need to do
you
that.
You should. It's really
cool. I have a lot of people in the UK that'll message me, and I'm like,
I have a lot of people in Canada. Really? Yeah. Yeah. And then for a little while there, I had a big following from Spain. I don't know how that happened, but that was really cool. Yeah.
That is so crazy.
But you made me think of something. I don't like using the word influencer. I like to say creator. I don't know why.
Content creators.
I feel like influencer can kind of have a negative connotation, because it depends on what kind of influence you're having on others, right? So sometimes I just kind of avoid that and I like to say creator. But anyway, my point is there are two kinds of creators, right? There's creators who have a following and creators who have a community. And that is a big difference. And I think what you and I have and what some of my bestest creator friends have, it's we have this authentic community because we really have a passion for sharing and helping, building other people up. And that's something that I absolutely love about you.
I feel the same. I feel like you can see it when I don't know. I don't understand when people don't like message people back or comment back.
Reply. It takes like 2 seconds to reply.
I don't know. I will never be that person. Like, I am in my DMs all the time, no matter how many I have, and responding to comments, and like, that's the best part. I'm like, how are we not doing
it? It's like having a bajillion besties online and you're like always talking to them about it. And that's also what I love about my Discord community. You know, we're all chit-chatting. It's like, we're all friends. And then it's even cooler when I actually get to meet them in real life, like when they go to a meetups or stuff, because like I'll recognize the face. And sometimes like I'll remember their Instagram name or their
name. Are you?
You know, because you've just built that bond, and it's such a cool thing. And so I get it. Some influencers really just are in it for the following and the notoriety, and okay, you know, whatever tickles your pickle. But for me, it's about building a community and hyping people up and building them and helping them achieve.
On that, I think that is also what separates like people in a way. I feel like the reason that we've been successful with like social media and like having our communities is because we are there, like we're engaging and we're showing up and we're there for the right reasons. Like, I'm not on here for the wrong reasons, you know what I mean? We started our pages to share our journeys and connect with others and help others, most importantly. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that shows like through our content and how we show up and just like what we do on our social media. So
yeah. And on that note, I think some brands see that. And you know, like, you could be DMing a brand left and right, but if they don't see that in you, if they don't see that authenticity in you, they're probably not going to pay attention to you, you know? So yeah, I always encourage people, like when they're like, I want to build my Instagram, or like, what do I should do? I'm like, be yourself. Like, don't try to be someone else. Don't copy someone else. Be you. Because if someone doesn't like you for being you, that's not the follower, the community that you want anyway. So tell me. So tell me about how, like, when brands started reaching out to you, because you and I met because of Buff Bunny.
I literally messaged her. Buff Bunny had me fly out for a content house. It was Secrets in Sand, and I didn't.
It was the first content house ever.
The first one ever. And I was just like, I got the email when I was taking a bubble bath, and I jumped out of the bubble bath, and I went to Nick, and I'm like, I'm going to Houston with Buff Bunny. I was just freaking out. But anyways, I didn't see her name on the invite. And I was like, this is absolutely unacceptable, because I have been following her. And I'm like, I love her. I know she's in Houston. Why is she not on this little invite list? This is not okay. So I messaged her and I'm like, hey, like, are you going? Like, what's going on? And didn't your invite like get lost or something?
No, they had separate invites for locals and out of like non-locals. So they had one for like all the girls who were flying in because they had like a slightly different itinerary.
Yeah,
and
we
then
have
the girls.
An itinerary. Yeah. Anyway, so I messaged her. I'm like, hey, are you going? And then she's like, yeah. And I'm like, can you pick me up from the airport? Because they wanted me to Uber. And I'm like, I'm scared of Uber. It's like getting, it was like a 45-minute drive from the airport to my wherever, the Airbnb. And I'm like, I am not trying to do that in an Uber. I'm like, I would rather, like, I know you, quote unquote, and, but like, can you pick me up?
Yeah. And that was our first interaction ever when you DM'd me.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. I will pick you up from the airport. We can go to Starbucks after. I'll drive you to content. What else do you need?
I love it. So yeah, now whenever I come to Houston, I'm like, Teresa, I landed this time.
And I'm like, okay.
I love it. Yeah. Oh, I know.
And I love that about working with the brands that we work for, because you know, it builds community like with our followers, but it also builds community amongst us. And yeah. I'm the kind of person who loves to collab with other people. I'm the kind of person who's like, there's enough room at the table for all of us, you know? And so you're not the first person who slid in my DM and said, hey, like I do it all the time. And I know how it feels too, because when the first time that I went to Miami for one of our one-up trips, first time ever, Heidi didn't go. She was the only other one-up person that I knew, but she didn't go on that trip.
I was like, scary. I think it can be scary because it can be so intimidating on social media. Like, I love this person on social media, but like in real life, like, are they the same? Because like sometimes people aren't, and that's just reality.
I mean, I have. Have you met anyone like where you thought you'd meet them and then
that, like, didn't really hit how I thought they were gonna hit, you know? Yeah. But sometimes people just have bad days, maybe. I don't know. But for the most part, honestly, I have loved going to any brand event or like content house or anything. I feel like Buff Bunny especially does a really good job of having people that are genuine and nice and just like welcoming. Like, I never felt left out. I never felt like, you know what I mean? And it can be scary going into like a group of girls and being like, I don't know anyone.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like, even Nancy, like, she is the sweetest ever.
I freaking love Nancy. Nancy doesn't know a stranger, okay? Like, Nancy, walking in.
I'm dead.
Nancy, if you're watching or listening, we love you.
We're your biggest fans. Thank you so much.
I had her on the show, too, right? Like, around the time when her collab came out. I have never laughed so much during a podcast.
What? Me, she is so funny. I literally love her.
Yeah, a content house without Nancy is not the same. We need Nancy every time.
Oh, and she doesn't even try. I think that's what, like,
no, the she's just so effortlessly like funny and charismatic. She's amazing. I love that. But I feel like you're very similar. That like you're maybe you're not like you know, but you're but you're like, you're so bubbly that we are instantly attracted to you. Like, we want to be friends with you. So when you slid in that DM, like, oh, I'm coming to Houston. Can you pick me up? I'm like, I like her. Yes.
Gosh, that is so funny.
I know. So what are some other brands that you work with?
So I work with Hydrojug. If you are watching on video, I'm about to take this down because I'm moving, but look at my gorgeous stash that I have.
I love your Hydrojug wall. I've always wondered where you had it in your house. Or your-
I don't think you want to put it up in the house because each single board has like 6 holes. And the thought of drilling all these holes again makes my skin crawl. So I don't think I'm going to put it up in the house, but for now, she's slaying. But I work with Hydrojug. I work with Vouray, which is a gym bag company. And then I also work with Bomar Nutrition, which is a supplement company. They're the first partnership that I ever had. Do you want me to talk about that a little bit? Because it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I I had my first partnership with Bummer Nutrition and I had 4,000 followers on Instagram. And I believe I was still private at this time, actually. Don't ask me how I managed to grow to 4,000 on private. I don't really know. I think it's because in my name I had VSG and like a lot of that. So I think people like were searching it and they were like, oh, let me follow her. So I was at 4,000 followers. I think I was still private, not 100% sure. I was at 4,000 followers and I was posting Bomar all the time. My brother actually introduced me to Bomar Nutrition. So Nick was deployed and I moved back to Minnesota for his deployment. So I started working out with my brother at like 6 months post-op in the gym. And he was like, you need to eat more protein if you're going to be in the gym. And I'm like, I'm not getting my protein goal. I'm not hungry. Like I was 6 months post-op. So my restriction was still like pretty high.
Your tummy was like geese.
So he's like, okay, how about a protein shake? And at this point, if you have had weight loss surgery, having a protein shake and it tasting good and like sitting right at this stage just doesn't happen. Like you're so sick of like the pre-made ones, like it's just not happening. But I tried his protein shake and I loved it. It sat right. It tasted good. Everything went well. So I ordered a bunch of it. I shared it with my people because I was like, listen, like if you are sick of like the Premier protein shake, like the pre-made ones,
yeah,
you have so many of them with weight loss surgery. Like, it's just crazy. I was like, if you're sick of that and you want something new, like, try this out. I love it. It doesn't hurt my stomach. It tastes good, whatever. So I started sharing it constantly. And then some person messaged me and they're like, do you have a code? Like, I would love to, like, support you. Like, you share this all the time. I would love to support you. Do you have a code? And I was like, I don't. But I
should.
I should. So I went on their website and at this time it was still swipe ups when you got to 10K. Mm-hmm. So you swipe up on your story unless you had 10,000 followers on Instagram. So I've applied anyways, or like normally we don't work with people that have less than 10K because they don't have the swipe up feature. Mm-hmm. Like that was like a deciding factor. Mm-hmm. Applied anyways. I was like, what do I got to lose? Nothing. And they reached out to me. We hopped on a phone call, kind of chatted a little bit, got to know them. And they gave me a affiliate link. And within like the first couple of weeks, they saw like my community show up and use my code. And I've been signed as an athlete ever since. I actually have 2 product collabs with them now, which is so fun. And yeah, so I've been with them since 2020, like July of 2020, I believe. So quite a long time now, which is absolutely crazy because like I said, I had no intention of ever doing social media or ever like, I don't even think I could wrap my head around the fact like that you could do social media like this. Like I didn't even realize like this was a thing, which is just crazy. It's so crazy.
It is. I didn't either. I always say like, I thought I was going to retire as a teacher.
Yeah, exactly. I just honestly never entertained the idea of like social media as a job, like doing social media. And I feel like I can't imagine doing anything else now. Like, I feel like I love it so much that I'm like, I can't imagine not having this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you ever worry about the future when it comes to social media? I do. And I'm not trying to be like pessimistic or anything. I just like wonder because I definitely do. Sometimes I'm like, will anybody like care what I have to say 5 years from now? I'm gonna be 40 years old. People are gonna be like, who's this old lady? Hey, which I mean, 40's not old by any means, okay? But like, you know, like I do kind of like worry about it.
Yeah, I think it's so new. And I think like we're the first people that are gonna find out, you know? Like,
Yeah, I think we are because there was like before this, there was like that big wave of YouTubers. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of had to transition, either like start businesses or, you know, go to TikTok more like short-term content. Yeah. Yeah. And I think we're just going to ride the wave.
Do you like TikTok?
No. I have a decent following on TikTok. I post on TikTok.
I never, like, I don't really post. They scare me.
My thing is that I don't have a TikTok community.
Exactly how I feel. I'm like, I don't know my people over on TikTok.
No, I have followers, but I don't have a community. So I'd rather spend my time on Instagram where I can talk to the women who actually care versus the probably mostly men on TikTok who are just following me hoping I'll post an ass pic, you know?
Well, I'm also hoping you post an ass pic. No, I think that's also important too, is like, it's not all about numbers. Like, I have a bigger following over on TikTok, but like, I don't care. Like, I care about my smaller community over on my Instagram, which is, they'll show up for you. Your number of people over somewhere else, like, if they're not going to show up for you, like, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. My thing's always been like, if I wanted to be ogled and sexualized on social media, then I would just post it on OnlyFans so at least I could get paid for it.
Not the weirdest email. I think it was like last summer, some brand messaged me and it was like a fitness OnlyFans. And they're like, we would love to have you. And I'm like, did you mean to send this to me? Like, did you mean to send this to me?
Did you look at my profile? Do you?
I could, like, that's just not my vibe. I don't know.
And not to like hate on people or throw shade at people who are OF. I generally don't care. Okay.
Same.
More power to you, girl, or guy, or couple, because there's some couples on there too. You know, get your bag. I support it. I just don't feel like it aligns with me at this point in my life. I will never say never, because I don't know, maybe like 5 years from now, I'm like, you know what? Look, I'm gonna post it all. You never know. I never like to say never, because you never know. I would have never said, you know, like, I'm never going to quit teaching. And then look, you know, so I just never really say that. But yeah, I don't know. More power to the people who do it.
Right. Period. Oh, man. I love it.
Are there any big plans coming up for you besides that house? When y'all move in?
We close next Wednesday, and then I'm ripping the whole entire first and second floor out. Yeah. Well, so we went through a builder, and it's like, you only have so many options when it comes to floors. Like, when you go through a builder like that, and I hated them all and they wanted way too much money. So I'm like, just put whatever's free in and we're going to rip it out. And so, yeah, we're going to demo it. And then they're putting in the new floors, which, let me just say, picking out floors is my worst nightmare. Like, it took me so long. The guys at the flooring store probably thought I was insane. I went there like 5 times, bringing samples, taking new ones. Floors look different in different lighting and at different times of day. Mm-hmm. And I was not prepared for that. I was not prepared for that. But I think I made the right decision with my floors. Cross your fingers. But yeah, so that's going to take about like 2 weeks, I think. So we're going to slowly move in. We're in our apartment until the 28th. So after that, we're fully in there. But yeah. Hopefully by the new year, we'll be in.
And then have my guest room ready so I can come hang out and chill.
We will. Thank you so much. Yeah. I'm so excited to just like be able to host. Like, Nick and I have always lived in a small apartment. Like, this room I'm in right now is like so multifunction. Like, this is my vanity. Nick has his gaming setup. There's a dresser and a desk. I'm like, this is like an everything room. I'm so excited to have like designated spaces for things to feel more like a home. You know, like, I haven't had that since I lived back home in Minnesota, like in 2018. So I'm really excited to have that. I'm also so excited for my cat to have stairs. Zaylee has stairs. I'm like, she's going to run up and down them. It's going to be so cute.
You have two cats, right?
I have two cats. I have Zaylee and Zaya, and we call them Muffin and Booby. I have no idea why. It stuck. You
always post these stories where you're like, you'll post a picture of the cat and you'll ask us, which one is this? I can never tell them apart. So I'm going to need you to like one day break it down for me so I can tell them apart.
Zaylee's fluffier. Zaya's not. Even my parents can't get them like right. They're like, the same. I'm like, they really don't.
Well, you live with them every day, so like, you can see like the big, you know, clear difference. Yeah. Kind of like people who have twins, you know, like If you see the twins, you're like, I can't tell them apart. But like, the more you get to know the twins, the more you're like, oh yeah, you're so and so.
And oh, I can't imagine. That would stress me out.
Yeah. This can be a touchy subject, and I never want to put pressure on it, but is a family, like kids in the future for you?
I think so. I not right now. I'm turning 24
Yeah,
on
you're a
Christmas.
baby.
I'm just a baby. But yeah, I think eventually I do. I've always said like I'm not having kids unless I have a house, which we're about to check off the box for that. See, but my mom was 33 when she had me, so I'm like really not in a hurry. If I
Yeah.
have kids, I've been married for going on 6 years, which is insane. Insane. So I mean, like everything's fine. I'm not in a hurry for that. They change your whole life.
They do. And
And
I know
you're
that.
they're expensive.
They're hella expensive. No, for sure. I'm about to be an empty nester soon, which is
God.
crazy to be an empty nester at 36. That's wild. Most people are having kids at 36.
Right? Oh my gosh, I love it.
But yeah, so like I so like this is my time for me to travel and do all the stuff that I didn't get to do when I was young. So I always tell people like enjoy being young before you have kids, travel, do all the stuff, be with your husband.
I feel like there's benefits to both, honestly. Like you had your kids so early, but now look at you. You're gonna be chilling. Like you
I'm gonna be a
just
cool grandma at like 45 probably.
honestly, I feel like there's benefits to both. Like if you have like if you're a young mom, like you said, you have that time, like you're older and gone versus so I don't know. I think it's just kind of weighing pros and cons for each
Yeah.
person figuring out what floats their boat.
Yeah. Speaking of marriage, you don't really post your husband. Is that a mutual decision? Is that a privacy decision? How did that come about?
It's I don't my aspirations on social media is to never be like a couple page. Like that was not what I started posting for. My social media is for like my fitness journey and like lifestyle and stuff like that. Nick also isn't big on social media. Like he doesn't even know how to post an Instagram picture. Like if it's our anniversary, he's like, how do I post this? So I'm like, okay. So it's like it's not his cup of tea, which is okay, and I absolutely respect that. I'm never gonna shove the camera in someone's face.
Yeah.
He'll an appearance like here and there, but other than that, no. And I also feel like when you start posting on social media, like your relationship, you get unwanted like
You're
opinion.
inviting opinions for sure.
That's something that's private and mine, and that's just how it is. But yeah, some people are like, is she even married? Like, what's going on?
Listen, my next relationship, I say this all the time, I'm not gonna soft launch. I'm gonna hard launch at my wedding. Like obviously like my friends will know, my family, you know what I mean? But like social media will not know.
Did you see Nancy's post?
Oh my God, I was like, first of all, the fact that all of y'all believed it was a real engagement. Come on, I know Nancy enough to know that that was not a real engagement. And everyone's like,
Laughing so hard. I was like, there is no way. If anyone's doing this, Nancy.
I was waiting. I was like, okay, where's the other half of the video? Where's the other half? What's going on? What's the catch?
Oh, man, that's
It's
so
so
funny.
funny.
And like I said, like it's not like he's secret, it's just
Yeah,
private.
no, everybody knows you're married.
Want to share, like, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
I know. I respect that.
I've gotten messages. People are like, are you married? I'm like, yeah, girl. Like, oh, you see this? Oh, man. But yeah, I don't know. It's just never been my thing. Like my social
Yeah.
media, my outlet. That's like me
Yeah.
going to, like, I don't want to do that. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? I think it just depends on the way you look at it, but
Well, and the other thing too, like this is our job. Like I like to explain this to people sometimes. Like this is our job, and I already share so much of me. I'm already so vulnerable about my past, what I'm struggling with, what I'm going through. Like I share so much, and there are parts of my life that I am entitled to keep private, and your marriage being one of them, and people should be able to respect that without like feeling entitled to that part of you. Mm-hmm.
I agree completely.
Yeah. Well, we are wrapping up here. Any final thoughts or advice that you would like to share with your wonderful community or people who are just meeting you?
Advice? Ooh, let's think. For me, like, the biggest thing is always just going to be to surround yourself with good people and, like, have a good community of people. And for me, like, that's a lot of people, like, on social media, which, like, you and, like, Brooke and, like,
everyone. Oh, we love Brooke.
We should do a podcast episode together.
We should. We should. No, I actually had already thought about it, but I was like, I need a topic.
But yeah, just surround yourself with good people and love and support and show up and you can do it. I never in a million years thought I would be someone that was posting a weight loss transformation on social media. And so just, you never know. Never say never. And yeah.
That's the theme of this podcast. Never say never.
It. But yeah, anything's possible. And I always thought, like, I truly thought when I was at my heaviest that I was going to be there for the rest of my life, and look at where we are at now. So it's just crazy when you're in the thick of it. Like, it just feels like,
you know, it's crazy that you say that, because there was a point in my life when I was so low, like, emotionally. Oh, my light went off. When I was so low emotionally and I was at my biggest, that I kind of had given up. And I remember telling myself, this is it. Like, this is who I'm going to be. This is going to be my life and it's never going to change. And I was kind of pretty dead set on believing that for a hot minute. And it didn't.
Yeah, it's crazy. Isn't it crazy? I still remember. We're not ending the episode, clearly. But I still remember going to my training session when I was at my heaviest. And I couldn't even do, like, a bodyweight lunge. Like, they were doing walking lunges. And I couldn't even do a bodyweight lunge. And I was, like, crying in my car after. I'm like, I'm so tired of feeling like this. Like, I'm stuck in this body. Like, I'm so miserable. And it's like, you never, like, I thought I was never going to get out of that. And I thought that there wasn't a way out. And there is. There's always a way out.
Always a way out. There's a way through. Well, thank you so much, Amy, for being here today with me. Where can everyone find you? Plug all your stuff.
I am at Amy Jo Fit on Instagram and TikTok, and then just Amy Jo on YouTube.
Yeah. Thank you. And I can't wait to see you. Either you come here.
You can come here too.
Or I'll go there. Because I haven't seen you in a year.
Yeah, right? It's been too long.
Yeah. So no, I need to see you and I need to squeeze you.
And pick me up from the airport.
And pick you up from, but if I go to you, you're picking me up from the airport.
I love it. Thank you.
All right, guys. So I will make sure to plug all of Amy's links in the episode description box. And I will see you in the next episode. Bye.